Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the fourth episode of the Morning Mulligans. We hope you all enjoyed yesterday's episode with our picks and analysis for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, minus the Pro-Am this week, I guess.
Yeah.
But this is our FanDuel Sportsbook section of our podcast. We release this every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. We go through not just the matchups, but we also talk about the players that have withdrawn, along with the added players, the weather coming up for the tournament, and then last but not least, the matchups. Now, I talk about the matchups. I'm talking about the FanDuel Sportsbook matchups. We like to do two different segments. Yesterday, we talk about our teams and our analysis of who we think is going to genuinely play well this week. And then for the people that don't like teams or the people that just really like to put some skin in the game, we talk about FanDuel Sportsbook matchups. Now, Todd, give us a little insight about how these matchups work every week.
Yeah, so basically, especially if you listen to yesterday's episode and are starting to understand how our tiers work, you'll pretty much see similar players usually in like two tier A guys going against each other, two tier B guys going against each other. It's never really a lopsided David versus Goliath matchup.
Almost never, no. It would be now. Dustin Johnson did withdraw this week, which we'll get into. But it would be somewhere like, you know, Patrick Cantlay versus Dustin Johnson.
Right.
Or, you know, if you look at the tiers, it might be like Phil Mickelson versus Ricky Fowler. Things of that sort. It's never just going to be a tier A versus a tier D guy. It's always a close matchup.
Right.
But it's really a fun thing we do. Usually the odds are always either minus 150 or plus 155 at the maximum or the minimum. It's usually closer than that. But it's just a fun little thing we like to do. And last week we talked about that Todd and I will be keeping score against each other. We intend on competing each other, but we talked about doing that for every single matchup, but we're actually going to change it up a little bit this week, and we're just going to compete in each other with the ones that we disagree with, just to make it a lot easier just for everyone and for us. I mean, it's just it makes no sense for us to keep up with the ones that we agreed on with each other.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not competing,
right?
So.
I mean, generally, you know, the sports book, they'll release like 25 matchups,
right?
And, you know, you can do, I guess, every matchup if you want to, but it's just a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, but there's some that we're going to agree that we'll both take it for sure because we both think that's a great matchup. But we're not competing against each other with that one.
Right.
But, again, we're going to probably switch it up every month. We'll probably restart every month. We'll have a winner for each month. We need to come up with a prize for that.
Yeah.
A couple of competition prizes between us. But, again, we like to keep this podcast a lot shorter than yesterday's. Yesterday's podcast generally goes for about an hour, give or take. These podcasts usually go for about 30 minutes or a little bit over almost every week. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. We're going to start off with the withdrawn players. Now, Todd, who has withdrawn this week?
Yeah, kind of a lot of people. I don't know if they're seeing the weather and just decide not to play, or if, you know, the fact that there isn't a pro-am this year, if they're – I guess just opting out, but Dustin Johnson has withdrawn.
The most expensive player on FanDuel.
Yeah, so that kind of hurts our Patrick Cantlay, although I don't think FanDuel changes their pricing.
No, they won't change WDs pricing, though. But Patrick Cantlay is now the most expensive player on FanDuel, though.
Yeah.
So I think that's big. But that's saying some people might not realize that Dustin – some people might just make their lineups and toss them. And if they got Dustin Johnson in there, I mean, that's automatic. You only got five players left.
Yeah, I've done that before, actually. Yeah.
It's got to pay attention to everything. But who else do we have that's withdrawn?
Yeah, we got Matt Kuchar, Padraig Harrington, who you talked about yesterday.
I talked about it as a joke, but yes.
He's out for COVID.
Yeah, he tested positive for COVID-19, so hopefully he's
that's
okay.
That's kind of scary considering he played with Stricker. So,
his age and everything. So hopefully it could come out that
both of them have COVID. Hopefully not. And then Wyndham Clark's the last person.
Wyndham Clark.
Yeah, DJ, Matt, and Wyndham. I couldn't find anything on why they withdrew.
No, I just heard that I think Dustin and Matt Kuchar probably withdrawn just because he's not playing well whatsoever. But Dustin, he just won last week, and you know he's probably seeing the weather. He's like, eh, you know, whatever.
And he doesn't have Wayne this week to help him through.
Right. So I think that's the only reason why. But Padraig Harrington did test positive for COVID-19, so hopefully he's okay, and the players that are around him don't test positive as well. But is there anybody else that's withdrawn this week?
Nope.
Okay. So we got a lot of added players this week.
I'm not really excited about any of them, but yeah, we do got a good handful of them.
No, we have Jonathan Bird, Ricky Barnes, Roberto Castro, Sangmun Bae, and Rod Pampling. Now, none of these guys that we're going to play, these are just all the type of players that you just hope that make the cut, obviously, especially just being added. You know, it's just out of the blue. They're probably –
they're all tier D guys.
Yeah, they're probably on the plane right now or maybe just arrived. Yeah. I mean, it's all just right out there. But Jonathan Bird's coming in at $7,000 this week. Ricky Barnes is $7,800. Roberto Castro is $7,000. Sangmun Bae is $7,900. And Rob Pampling is $7,000. None of these guys I'm going to play this week. Of course, all of them can make the cut, maybe. But, you know, it's just when someone gets added that fast, unless it's a Monday qualifier guy, I usually never add them.
Right.
Just because it's such short notice, you know. Sure, they could probably get you – they might get you a top 20, but, you know, it's too risky.
I'm not risking it.
No. But let's jump into the weather. We got some interesting weather this week.
A lot of back and forth.
Yeah. So tell us about the weather, Todd.
Yeah, so it's looking like all 4 days is going to be in the mid-50s as the high, low of high 40s. And like we said, chance of rain on Thursday and Saturday. Thursday, 75%. Saturday is looking like about 60%.
Yep.
Friday and Sunday look okay.
Yeah, just, you know,
it's going to be a soft golf course, though.
Yeah, it's going to be mid-50s. It might – afternoon – it's going to be definitely one of those – I mean, it happens every term, but this term especially, it's going to be, you know, morning groups might get the advantage or afternoon groups might get a heavy advantage because, you know, there's rain involved. The temperature is okay. It can dry up anything. It's going to be – it's going to be turned into a little interesting week.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like Torrey Pines. The only difference, I think, is Pebble Beach is not as hard as the South Course at Torrey.
Right.
So I don't know if like pairings about who's playing what course on Thursday and Friday is really going to make that big of a difference.
Right. It's I definitely – now, the rain definitely could affect some of your lineups this week. But honestly, in a whole – I mean – these guys are professionals. They know how to get through the rain. I mean, obviously, some are better than others, but overall, I don't really think it's going to affect the matchups or affect the players from yesterday much at all.
Right. But I guess we'll go ahead and clarify, and this may not be true, but I've heard that they are not playing at Monterey Peninsula.
Right.
It doesn't really change a whole lot. All the courses are fairly easy, but want to make sure we get that right.
Right. Okay. Well, do you want to jump right into the matchups now?
Sure. I haven't even looked at these this week, so.
Right, that's kind of the fun part of it. We like to just dive straight into it.
So, yeah, starting off, we got the most expensive player now. Patrick Cantlay is our first matchup going against Daniel Berger. Cantlay's minus 164. Daniel Berger's plus 130.
It's a heavy favorite.
Yeah, I think they're probably basing off Berger missing the cut last week.
Probably. Patrick Cantlay minus 164, Daniel Berger plus 130. I like Patrick Cantlay.
I think Cantlay's a safe bet. I don't really like your return, so I'm probably not going to bet that one.
I don't think it's too bad. You know, my minus 164 isn't awful.
Right.
But, no, I definitely agree with you. I think Patrick Cantlay is a good pick this week. And we'll just switch back and forth like we usually do for matchups. Next up is Jason Day at minus 126 and Paul Casey at minus 102. I like Paul Casey this week.
I think I do, too. Jason Day's got a really good track record here. It's just I kind of want to see something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not playing good at all right now. So,
yeah.
And Paul Casey's coming off a win a couple of weeks ago. And I think he played last week in Saudi Arabia.
He did. Yeah. I think he finished in top 30, I believe.
So, yeah, I think I'll roll with Casey there.
Yeah, I agree.
That'd actually not be a bet for me.
Yeah. Paul Casey's minus 102. That's good odds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would take it. All right. Get the next one.
All right. Next up, we got Will Zalatoris at minus 152 going up for against my guy this week, Francesco Molinari at plus 120.
Yeah, you're big on Francesco this week.
Yeah, I think you. That pretty much says who I'm going with.
I'm going to agree with you. Francesco Molinari at plus 120. I think the odds are good. Francesco is the seasoned player here, especially with some weather coming in.
Yeah, that's kind of another thing, especially that we may have multiple days with rain. I don't know. For some reason, I want to lean European Tour players.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If that's the case.
Yeah, the weather over there is always drastically different.
You know, especially in this matchup, you got a rookie going up against a seasoned veteran.
Yeah, well, you got a rookie that's playing amazing.
True.
You got a seasoned veteran that's playing well now.
Right.
But I still like it. Francesco Molinari at plus 120, I like it.
Yeah, I'll probably take that one also.
All right. Noted. Let's go into the next one right here. Jordan Spieth at minus 126 versus Siwoo Kim at plus 102. Hands down, Jordan Spieth.
I think so. I mean, Siwoo Kim's kind of the...
Yeah, after his win, I think he's done for a little bit.
He's just really streaky, and, you know, I mean, he's got decent course history here.
I think Jordan Spieth at minus 126, I would definitely take him for sure.
Yeah, I think I like Jordan there.
All right, go ahead and take the next one.
We got Max Homa going up against Sam Burns. They are both minus 112, so it's pretty much a pick 'em. I think we might differ on this.
Go ahead.
I think I like Sam Burns.
I think I like Sam Burns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like Max Homa this week, but I don't know. I got a gut feeling about Sam Burns this week. That's why he's on two of my lineups. I got four lineups this week. He's on two of them. I just got a gut feeling about Sam Burns.
You like it enough to take that one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's minus 112, Sam Burns gets Max Homa, who has good course history and is playing well. But, like I said, it's got a gut feeling about Sam Burns. Listen, last week, my gut feeling paid off pretty well.
Yeah, and another thing, I don't know exactly much about Sam Burns, but I know Max Homa, he's got another podcast that I listen to a lot, and he one of the episodes I listened to, he talked about his mental game a lot.
Right, he's focusing on that a lot.
I don't know, man. I feel like if the weather turns bad, it's going to test that mental game.
Maybe.
A lot more than just a normal round because you got to scrap it around and, dealing with wet grips and keeping everything dry. It's just a lot more – you got to be a lot more mentally tough.
Yeah, I agree.
For weather conditions.
Still going with Sam Burns.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Let's see. Right here we got Cam Davis, my boy, minus 118 versus Cameron Tringali, minus 108. 100% Cam Davis.
You know, if it wasn't the weather, I'd probably disagree with you. But because of the weather, I think I'm going to go with Cam Davis.
I think Cam Davis is definitely going to do better than Tringali.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
it's minus 118. I'm taking that.
Is that really a fair matchup to you? I mean, I feel like that's the most lopsided one.
Hey, that's why we're here, Ty. We find the ones that aren't fair and we take them.
Yeah, that's true. But I just feel like, I mean, Tringali's playing good right now, but I just feel like Cameron Davis, talent-wise, is just so much better.
Yeah, no, I agree. Still taking Cam. Minus 118, taking it.
Yep.
You got the next one.
All right, we got Kevin Streelman going up against Ricky Fowler. Streelman's minus 118. Ricky Fowler's minus 108.
I think there's a clear winner here.
Really? I don't really know.
Kevin Streelman.
You think so?
Yeah, Ricky's not playing good.
Well, that's true.
Ricky's not playing good at all. And Kevin Streelman has fantastic course record here. I mean, he's finished runner up. He's finished fifth. He's finished seventh. I mean, he's got great course history here, and he's coming off tied 22nd last week.
That seems okay. Yeah. I think you've won me over there.
100% Kevin Streelman. I'll take that. I think Ricky Fowler might miss the cut again.
I think Ricky's got to figure out those irons. Have you seen them?
No, he's got to figure out so much.
Have you seen his irons?
Yeah.
Like
it's brutal, right?
I mean, they're sick looking, but I just with the no offset, I can't get used to it. I don't know how anybody that's
he's got a lot to work on. I love Ricky Fowler, but he's got a lot to work on. I think Kevin Streelman definitely beats him this week at minus 118.
Yep.
You got the next one.
We got Henrik Norlander going up against Alex Noren. Minus 124 for Norlander, plus 100 for Alex Noren.
Clear winner.
You going Norlander?
Yep.
Kind of what Norlander, I was thinking.
Minus 124. I like Alex Noren. He's not playing bad golf this year either.
No, and but Norlander's playing pretty solid as well.
Solely just because Henrik Norlander finished second at Torrey Pines.
Okay.
I think just that's such a brutal golf course, and we saw brutal weather there. I think he'll get it done.
Yeah.
100%. Next up is
the Battle of the Lefties.
Yeah. Brian Harman at minus 152 versus Phil Mickelson at plus 120. Clear winner again.
Phil. Yeah.
Phil the Thrill.
That's actually a decent – I'll probably take that one too. That's good odds.
You can't bet against Phil here. That's the thing.
That's why I'm so surprised.
Champion. Five-time champion. He's been top five like literally every other time he's played here.
Yeah, I mean, you're – yeah. I don't –
They're probably just looking at Phil's putting right now, and they're just
– Well, and his age, I guess.
Yeah, he's got the arthritis right now.
But I just don't see how that's a matchup.
I don't know.
That just seems weird.
I'm taking Phil at plus 120.
Yeah, for sure. I'm putting some money on that one.
Usually we disagree a little more.
I know, we're
we've only, yeah.
Not going to have much of a competition.
No. All right, let's see. You can take that one. Even though I gave you two in a row, I just noticed that. But
we got we got Matt Jones going up against Peter Malnati. Matt Jones is minus 152. Peter Malnati is plus 120.
Another clear winner.
Malnati. For sure.
I love how we do this every week. We did this last week. We said clear winners, and it was always the underdogs that we thought were the clear winners.
Yeah.
FanDuel Sportsbook, what, he might be messing around with us a little bit.
I mean, Matt Jones, I don't think he's American. I'm pretty sure he's a European tour guy, but
Peter Malnati is playing the best golf he's played in a long time.
He has
great course history.
Here. He is, and then when he played at Torrey Pines a couple weeks ago when the weather got bad, he shot, like, I think the lowest round.
Yeah, he shot 600
in the weather.
In the day of the hail.
Yeah, so if there was anybody that from America, I guess, that didn't scare me in the weather right now, it's probably Peter.
Yeah, no, I agree. Peter at plus 120 over Matt Jones for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Next up, we got Brendan Steele at minus 142 and Harold Varner III at plus 110. This is a lot closer matchup here.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I like Harold Varner.
I'm going to disagree.
Just to disagree or because you actually?
Harold Varner hasn't done a thing to impress me at all.
Well, that's true.
And Steele, at least he's played well. Okay.
For some reason, I want to say Harold Varner's got decent course history here.
Here's why I'll disagree with you. Brendan Steele finished second in the Sony Open this year.
Mm.
That was my course comparison.
Right.
Second or third, one of the two.
Okay.
But that's why I take Brendan Steele.
Okay. Yeah,
you're taking Harold.
Go ahead and jot her down there.
Oh, I'm jotting her down right now.
I'll go ahead and go with the next matchup.
All right.
We got Joel Damon going up against Matthew Naismith. To me, a clear winner. Joel Damon's minus 118. Naismith minus 108.
Who's a clear winner?
To me, it's Naismith. Joel Damon is playing awful right now.
I think you're a bold man.
Really?
I'm going to be bold with you.
Oh, okay.
But, no, I think Neesmith last week was a fluke.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it might have been, but
I think it's just that guy that comes out of nowhere and just kills it for a week and then, you know, goes back home.
Well, I, like, low-key wanted to play Joel Damon this week, and then whenever I was doing my research, I just was like, holy crap.
He's not playing good.
He is not playing good at all.
And you know how I feel about Joel Damon. He's just a strange man. Sure, he's a super nice guy, but a strange man. I'll take Neesmith with you.
All right.
All right, next up we got Rory Sabatini at minus 118, then Mark Hubbard at minus 108. Mark Hubbard was a first-round leader last week.
True.
Rory Sabatini has been playing great golf this season.
And he's got a runner-up finish here.
Yeah. Again, the Mark Hubbard was a fluke. Rory Sabatini will beat Mark Hubbard this week.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. All right, you got it.
All right, so we got James Hahn at minus 122 going up against Russell Knox minus 108.
I think we're going to disagree here.
I don't think so.
What?
Because I'm not picking anything James Hahn this week because of the same reason why I didn't take Ortiz last week.
Yeah, but wouldn't call James Hahn. Okay, I think James Hahn and Carlos Ortiz's meltdowns were a lot different. Because James Hahn already had a 3-shot lead. And then he saw a leaderboard. My guess is that he saw the leaderboard and saw Brooks, Xander, and Spieth all right behind him. So he just got scared.
Yeah.
Carlos Ortiz, he didn't get scared. I don't think he got scared of anything. He couldn't get up and down from anywhere. He couldn't make a putt. I mean, he was just playing all genuine bad golf. And you look at James Hahn, he hit in the water at one hole. He didn't have all-around bad golf. I think James Hahn just got scared. But I think Carlos Ortiz straight up had a meltdown that on Torrey Pines.
Well,
but he made up for it.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really see Hahn have a meltdown. I could definitely see he was cussing himself walking down a couple fairways.
He was not happy with himself. I mean, he might not recover. But with this matchup, you know, James Hahn versus Russell Knox, I'm going to say what I said a few weeks ago. I'm not going to take Russell Knox so everybody else can have the benefit of it. Because, listen, whenever it's just with Russell Knox, if I bet on Russell Knox – he's not going to play well. If I don't bet on him, he's going to play great. So everybody else can reap this matchup besides me. So I'm going to take James Hahn at minus 122.
Well, I guess write down the disagreement there because I'm going to go with Knox.
I'm just going with James Hahn.
Because you put him in the episode yesterday, didn't you?
No.
You didn't talk about Russell Knox?
Oh, yes. I talked about Knox. I mentioned Knox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go against my – actually, I just mentioned him. I didn't –
right.
I'm not playing him in anything. But, again, everybody – so here's what I'm doing here. I think Russell Knox is going to win, but just so everybody else can get the money, I'm not going to bet on it.
You're going to hand me a dub.
Right. Just because it's – good. Everybody knows I got beef with Russell Knox. So how about this matchup right here? This is
literally what we said at the end of yesterday's episode, Tennessee matchup.
We said at the end of it, and if you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, we made a post about Brent Snedeker, Scott Stallings, and Peter Mainotti today. Brent Snedeker minus 122 versus Scott Stallings at minus 108. The Tennessee boys are going against each other, and I know exactly who's going to win this one.
You going with Stallings?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Okay.
I was about to say, you know, I was actually just about to say Scott Stallings, but then I was like, crap.
The weather?
Snedeker is a two-time champion here.
Yeah.
And the weather.
I don't know how Scott
plays. You know what? No. You know what? No. Scott Stallings is taking him down. Minus 108. Scott Stallings is winning this week.
All right. I'll disagree with you. I'll take Brent.
How dare you?
I know they're both seasoned guys. You know, Scott's been out there for a few years now, but as far as playing in the weather and stuff, I don't know. I feel like Snedeker might have a leg up on him.
You're a bold man, sir. All right, next one. You got it.
We got Ryan Moore at minus 134 and Brandon Grace at plus 108.
Now, yesterday you said Brandon Grace has not been here because his father passed away.
I did. I think –
I'm taking Brandon Grace.
I probably will too.
It's plus 108. Ryan Moore is playing bad.
I think – I just don't see – if he already took a hiatus – I don't see him coming back if he isn't ready.
And he has good course history here.
Yeah, right.
I think that's just some I think that's probably just motivation behind it.
Right.
I definitely think Brendan Grace takes down Ryan Moore. I'll probably take that as well. Plus 108.
Yeah, I probably will too, actually.
Next up, Patrick Cantlay at minus 182. Wow. Earlier I said we usually only see 150 or minus one or plus 150. But now we're seeing Patrick Cantlay minus 182. Against Paul Casey at plus 140. Who Paul Casey has a runner-up here.
This is, I mean...
Patrick Cantlay, technically, he's been finished inside top 11, I believe.
I mean, I could definitely see both of these guys winning this week, honestly. Yeah,
but I'm taking Patrick Cantlay.
I think I'm going to go with Paul Casey.
What? You're going against everything you said.
Well, I mean, yes, but I just like the plus 140. I mean,
That's true.
If it happens, the return, this is... I think plus 140 is the best I've seen on a matchup since we started doing this.
Yeah, that's a close matchup, I feel like. I definitely think the odds are messed up there. I think Patrick Cantlay does better, but I think the odds are messed up.
A little inflated?
Yeah, I think so. I think minus 182 is a little much.
Right. This next matchup, we got Daniel Berger at minus 134 going up against Will Zalatoris at plus 108.
Dang. Tough one.
Man, Berger, I don't – Berger really scared me last week.
Berger's a fantastic player. You know what? I'm going to kind of treat this like a college basketball type deal. I think, you know, in college basketball, sometimes when a team just loses poorly in one week, then the next week they're going to come out and they're going to destroy their next team. I think that's going to be the same with the Daniel Berger situation.
He's going to come back strong this week?
Yeah, he missed a cut last week, and I don't think he generally had something wrong because I watched him play. He didn't play bad. He just didn't play good enough. I think Daniel Berger is going to come out and play pretty well this week. Now, just going against Will Zalatoris, a rookie just playing so good right now, I'm going to take Berger.
This matchup's hard.
I'm going to take Berger for sure. Who do you got?
I think I'll probably lean with Berger, but I'm not taking this at all.
Not taking it.
This scares me. I don't really know who would win that.
That's fair. All right, well, I'll take Berger with you. All right, next up we got Jason Day at minus 142 versus Jordan Spieth at plus 110. Clear winner in my eyes, Jordan Spieth.
Oh, wow, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
No, you're saying I'm going to take Day?
Well, just because, you kind of seemed off on him this week after –
I am nervous about Jordan Spieth this week, but Jason Day played terrible.
That's true.
I get he played at Torrey Pines at his debut. I get it was his debut, but I don't care. I think Jordan Spieth has a win here. He played great last week. If he can keep this up this week, Jordan Spieth's confidence is going to go through the roof.
That is true.
And I think that's also the kind of thing. This might be Jordan Spieth kind of knows the whole world thinks that, so it might be too much pressure. But just I don't depends. Know. I'm taking that. Jordan Spieth plus 110, I'm taking it. Who do you got?
I'll probably go with you. I'm not taking it. But, okay. Yeah, they scares me.
Wow. How about this next one? I talked about both these guys in the next one.
Yeah, I have really not much of an input here because I haven't really researched either of these guys that much.
Right.
But we got Nick Taylor at minus 118 going up against Michael Thompson at minus 108.
I picked both of them this week. Nick Taylor is last year's champion. Michael Thompson's got some good finishes here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably lean Nick Taylor.
I think I'm going to agree with you there.
Probably just going to go based off talent. I think Nick Taylor's a more talented player than Michael Thompson.
Yeah, just using course comparison like I did. He finished very well at the Sony Open this year, and Nick Taylor's a champion of last year. So I think he's definitely looking to continue to strive. I think Michael Thomas still plays great this week, but I think Nick Taylor finishes a few spots better.
Mm-hmm.
Taking Nick Taylor for sure. All right, next one. Chris Kirk minus 182 versus Brendan Grace at plus 144.
Man.
Chris Kirk minus 182, I think.
Wow.
Chris Kirk's playing the best golf he's played, I think, since he's gotten his card. And Chris Kirk has a runner-up here.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, we don't know really how Grace is going to play.
Right. But it is plus 144.
Yeah, I'll probably take that.
You're going to take it. We're going to disagree.
I think – I don't know. Like I said, Grace is kind of a risky play because you just don't know where he is mentally right now. Kirk is kind of the same way to me. I mean, he missed the cut last week. You know, I mean, he's got his card. I know he's probably not as big of a flyer as Grace is going to be this week. But
I definitely think Kirk's looking – I know he missed the cut last week, but – he knows that he just got his card. I think he's very, like, he knows that he's playing good golf right now, so he's looking to continue it.
I think this matchup, I'm just going to lean on the fact that Brendan Grace plays a lot of European and tour events, and he's probably played in a lot more weather conditions.
That's fair. Okay, we're going to disagree. I'm taking Kirk. You're taking Brendan Grace. All right, next up, we got Kevin Streelman at minus 112 versus Max Homa at minus 112. I'm taking Max Homa.
I feel like we just had this matchup.
No. We had Streelman versus Ricky Fowler.
Ah, okay. I probably like Homa.
I agree. I think Homa, again, Homa's due this year, and I hope it's this tournament. That'd be great. He's on my team.
Streelman got hot after the restart last year, but he's kind of cooled off. Max Homa's really starting to get things going.
Yeah, but Streelman did have a tied 22nd last week, and Streelman has really good course history here. But still, I think Max Homa does better. All right, you got the next one.
So this next matchup, we got Sam Burns at minus 118 going up against Cameron Davis at minus 108.
Oh, we talked about both these guys. Well, I did.
I'm probably going to leave Cam Davis.
You're going to lean to Cam Davis. You're going to lean to my boy.
Yep.
Wow. This is a hard one for me because Cam Davis is my boy, but I have a gut feeling about Sam Burns this week. Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to take Sam Burns.
Oh, wow.
I think. No.
No?
Can't do it. I can't go against my boy, Cam Davis. I know I have a gut feeling this week, and I think Sam Burns is playing great, and I think I have a gut feeling that he's going to play great again, but Cam Davis is a very solid player, and he's playing great as well. And I feel like he's more used to these type of golf courses. I think Cam Davis plays well again this week. I'm talking like this might be Cam Davis' fifth and Sam Burns' sixth.
I think it'd be a close matchup. It scares me too much to take it. No, yeah,
not touching it, but I am taking Cam Davis over Sam Burns.
Yep.
All right.
This matchup is a doozy.
The very last one is a genuine no-brainer.
This doesn't even seem like in the same ballpark to me.
No, not at all. It's Siwoo Kim at minus 126 versus Francesco Molinari at -102.
Oh, man. Who I bet people listen to this that aren't in Tennessee and go, man, these country people can't pronounce nothing.
Idiots.
I'm probably taking Francesco for sure.
I would hope
so. I'm probably going to actually bet that.
Yeah, he's sure. -102. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I do too. Not even really much for discussion there. Just take Francesco.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you and I disagreed on 5 this week.
That's solid.
Yeah. We have a nice little competition between us. You know,
Much easier to keep up with.
Right.
25.
I took Brendan Steele over Harold Varner. You took Harold Varner. I took James Hahn over Russell Knox just because everybody else can win the money. And then I'm going with the gut feeling again. I took Scott Stallings over Brent Snedeker. And then I can't believe you disagreed with me on Patrick Cantlay versus Paul Casey.
I don't know. I just have a really good feeling about Paul Casey this year.
There you go. That's fair. And I took Chris Kirk over Brendan Grace. So we got 5 against each other. We'll see who wins. But other than that, do you have anything to add for our matchups or anything?
I don't believe so. We stayed in the time frame we were thinking about.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, fast episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah. Like I said, we just get right to the point this episode. Just a quick little update for the tournament and then along with a bunch of single bets. But other than that, that's really all I have for you guys. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Morning Mully, MULLI for Mully. And if you want to go look at our website and go listen to our podcast there, just learn a little more about your host, Todd and I.
Yep.
It's themorningmulligans.com. It's we're official.com. No big deal. But other than that, that's all we have for you guys. And we will tune into you guys, or hope you tune into us, next Tuesday and Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern time for next week's tournament. But follow our social medias and watch out for some updates and everything that we have. And let's hope we have a good week. Thank you all.